All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. My name is Derek Bros, and I'm here with Micah.
I'm here. Micah's you just can't see me yet.
Here. He's just, for those who are watching live, maybe he's getting his camera set up right now, but we're both here today. Johnny's not here, though, so shout out to our third Migo here on Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, where we broadcast every week bringing you local Houston news, Texas news, national news, international news, news outside of the mainstream, as well as music, like you just heard Jenk and Inky. What was that song called, Micah?
I should know.
You should know.
Red Tape.
Red Tape, yeah, Red Tape. Jenk and Inky, if you like them. Again, we always take music suggestions. You can hit us up at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. You can hit us up at theconsciousresistance.com at our music submission tab. You can also find us on Facebook at Freethinker Radio if you do such things. And send us music, your music, conscious music, interesting music, things that we can get out there. Unfortunately, it's got to be FCC friendly so it can make it on 90.1 KPFT here in Houston, Texas, where we broadcast every week.
100,000 watts of power across the Gulf Coast. It's not just Houston. We reach Galveston, we reach Livingston, and this is what, the fourth largest city in the empire or something like that? So we're talking about these ideas. And I miss being in the studio where people would be driving through Houston and call in because they just happened to discover the station, or they, you know, so we really are disconnected in some ways from our audience, while our online audience is ever present as always. We're missing the direct contact with our FM audience, but we are very thankful for KPFT providing that platform. And we do hope that everyone that hears realizes that KPFT is struggling now, and many businesses are. So if we've been keeping you company through the hurricane, and if we've been keeping you company through the COVID, then maybe think about calling some money. COVID cane. Think about throwing some money to KPFT, because I think it's definitely something worth considering supporting, having that ability to speak about diverse issues to one of the cities as large as Houston. All right.
Yeah, we're thankful to broadcast here in Houston and, of course, on the internet, on the Conscious Resistance. But let's go ahead and get into it. We're here with you guys for the next hour. As we said, we played Jenk and Inky. We got more music coming up probably in the half hour break. Lots of the stories that we're going to be covering today are related to the police, and that is sometimes a regular occurrence. But this week particularly, I know Micah's got a few that we're going to talk about in Texas. I will be talking a little bit about this whole Jacob Blake police shooting that I'm sure you guys have heard about in Wisconsin, and then the subsequent protests slash riots and Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old who was there at the protests and ended up shooting some people, now being charged with first-degree homicide. So, I mean, lots of issues to kind of pull apart there. And then a lot of this leading to the NBA and I think some of the national baseball teams here in the States saying they're going to boycott, you know, for social justice, racial justice. So there's a lot of that going on right now. We're going to get into much of that, as well as talking about the Fed. Micah's got some information
about
on the Fed.
On camera.
Got some new information about Bill Gates that finally the mainstream's talking about. We're going to talk about.
I saw Bill Gates was talking about hurricanes.
Kamala Harris pledging unconditional support for Israel.
Unconditional
support for Israel.
How can
not
it
a big
be
surprise.
Independent?
And then we're going to also talk about towards the end, libraries, town halls, and DMVs are already using facial recognition and thermal imaging kiosks around the United States. Surprise, surprise. So lots to cover and get into. But first, Mike is going to join us on camera, and then we are going to talk about Texas. Mike, so go ahead and take it away.
All right. I got a couple of stories from Texas, and, you know, police are all in the news, and they've always been in the news on Freethinker Radio, so I don't think that's anything new to people listening. But this one here made it to Reuters, and it's from Fort Worth, but with everything going on, I think it's important to note it. When David Colley slipped off his shirt as he set out one sultry night to visit some friends, he did not know he was putting himself in grave danger, but he was. He now fit a description: shirtless, black, male. Moments later, Colley lay face down on pavement, gunned down as possible suspect in a crime he didn't commit. What? That's right.
The shooter. Is this the special report one?
Yeah, the shooter was Fort Worth, Texas police officer Hugo Barron. He and his partner had been looking for two shirtless black men wanted for an armed robbery involving tennis shoes. When the cops spotted David Colley, they pulled into the apartment complex, got out of the squad car, and started shouting commands at him. This sounds familiar, right? Police dashboard camera video shows that Colley was walking away from the two cops as he pulled his hand out of his pocket and raised his arm because armed men were yelling at him. That's when Barron fired his gun. A hollow point bullet slammed into Colley's back, punctured a lung, and severed his spine, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down. in the 4 years since. See, it's not over yet. Kali, now 37 years old, has lived in nursing homes, afflicted with infections, pressure sores, and bouts of crushing depression. You can imagine it going the way you can't walk anymore. Well, you just walking down the street one day, la-di-da-da, bam, get shot, can't walk anymore. As he talked about, at 37 years old, you know, that's too young to take that, right? As he talked about this July 2016 shooting and what it took for from him, wails from an elderly patient echoed down the corridor. The odors of urine and excrement wafted up through the hall. Kali closed his eyes and exhaled, paralyzed over some tennis shoes. Come on, man. You playing with a human life here. Too many Americans. The outlines of Kali's encounters with police have become dismayingly familiar in recent years, and all the more so since the May 25th death of George Floyd, a black man under the knee of a Minneapolis cop that sparked mass protests against racism and aggressive police tactics. I'm kind of glad that they said that, and aggressive police tactics. The fate of Kali's attempt at redress has been familiar too, and now underpins demands that police be held accountable when they kill or seriously injure people.
Imagine that.
How, man, I want to think about this. How are they ever going to be really held accountable? You think they're going to hold that one officer like they do Goins, maybe hold the officer accountable? Is that going to make the guy walk again? Is that going to pay the medical bills? So when we say accountable, you know, how? In a lawsuit filed in federal court in Fort Worth, Kali accused Barron of excessive force, a civil rights violation under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. He thought that any money from a settlement or jury award would give him some measure of independence, right? Maybe he could have, you know, kind of his own place to stay. After the shooting cost him his job, derailed his plans to return to college, also thought Barron should be held responsible for what he did. Kali didn't get very far. Barron, who hadn't been disciplined or charged with any wrongdoing for the shooting, like there was nothing wrong as far as they thought, right, argued that he had acted reasonably on a fear. That reasonably. How do you act reasonably on a emotion like that? Acted reasonably on a fear that Kali was about to shoot his partner. Kali said he took his hand from his pocket to point to where he was going when Barron shot him. The judge sided with Barron, though Kali had nothing to do with robbery. The cops were investigating. So see, just like, you know, Tuttles, they just bolt up and shoot you. Had no gun on him and was 30 feet away with his back to Barron when the cop fired. 30 feet away and shot in the back, okay, because the other officer there thought he was going to shoot his partner. This is, you know, there's this thing they say guns make you dumb. This is one of the things, you know, everything becomes scary when you got a gun. The judge ruled that Barron was entitled to qualified immunity. You ever hear that phrase before? Qualified immunity, a legal doctrine meant to protect police and other government officials from frivolous lawsuits, you know, like being turned into a handicapped person. A federal appeals court saying the case exemplifies an individual's being in the wrong place at the wrong time and upheld the court's decision. You shoot me, paralyze me, put me in a nursing home, ruin everything, and I can't get no type of compensation, Kali said. He leaned back in his bed. This ain't justice. You know, I wouldn't think it's justice either.
That's crazy.
It goes on further. In a review of 529 cases since 2005, this news organization found significantly differences in how federal appeals courts treat qualified immunity. Plaintiffs fared worse in the court that heard Kali's appeal, the Fifth U.S. Court, where judges habitually follow precedents that favor police. The court granted 64% of police requests for immunity. Like, they don't even have to go to court, right? See what I'm saying? It's like, there's no trial.
I mean, I think that's probably one of the most important parts of this whole conversation of recent months that I've seen is the talk around qualified immunity. And wasn't it Colorado, or there was one state or city that recently ended qualified immunity? Was it Colorado? I think it might've been Colorado. But that, you know, that to me is, that's a big step because yeah, if the cops, it's kind of like for me with the vaccine issue, right? Because we have with the vaccine issue in 1986, they passed a law that made it where vaccine manufacturers can't be held liable. They're basically, they have immunity in that regard. You know, when it comes to vaccine injuries, there's a vaccine injury court, but that's paid out by the taxpayers, not from actual manufacturers. And in this case, cops can't, in many cases, have immunity. And even if they did pay something, like, you know, it's coming from the taxpayers. So it's just, I don't know. Those are two areas. And it just seems like if an industry and the police are an industry, that whole, it's protection. It's supposed to be, I guess, in its most idealized version, community protection. It is an industry, and whether people like to accept it or not, we consider it to be public. So we think it's, you know, taxpayer funded and it's beholden to the people. But we know that it's BS, and that it's not really a system that I think recognizes individuals and rolls right over individuals. And people like this guy that you were just talking about there, and plenty of others, I'm sure they found many other stories like that. I mean, and that relates to the other story we're going to get into a few moments, being shot in the back, paralyzed, yep. Surviving, but being paralyzed for the rest yep. of your life. And so it's interesting that story that guy that they were focusing on also was shot in the back by cops.
It seems to
paralyzed and has no compensation for it. I mean, I don't think that you have to, it really shouldn't be a political issue one way or the other to recognize that that's not justice and that's wrong.
And it shouldn't be a racial issue whether you stand up for it, right? I mean, obviously there's some disproportionate racism going on in the police department, but you should stand up for this no matter who's being shot, right? Because unless you just love authority, I mean, because these people are just shooting people. They're going in people's homes and shooting people. I'm not saying all of them are, but at the same time, if you look at the Houston news, there's some horrible stuff going on. We got yeah. civilians shooting people, and we know we're going to get into that later with another story. But here in Houston, we had a story where people were shooting at cars, and the police shot them. So it's kind of chaos out there.
It is, and well, we're 15 minutes into the show now, so we're going to continue on. We are talking a lot about cops today. Micah, before I get into the Jacob Blake thing, I know you had one that was...
Yeah, this Dallas one won't take as long, but I thought this was kind of interesting because it does talk about, you know, I guess abuse of power. But it talks about something else that I think is coming to light. And how long did that show Cops run? Like 20 years, 30 years,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and this glorification. But there's other thing here. This is out of USA Today, but it speaks of as live PD fame increased, I guess this is like a reality TV show, deputies in a Texas sheriff's office chased more. So as they got more famous, they started chasing more. What? So I thought that was kind of interesting, new way to a new light being shed there, a little insight. Turns out that Deputy J.J. Johnson sped across Williamson County, Texas, the night of March 28, 2019, as his patrol car siren wailed and lights flashed. In the vehicle with him, a crew from the live PD reality show filmed as Johnson chased a driver who had failed to dim his headlights. He didn't dim his headlights for 22 minutes. 22 minutes! The deputy pursued the man through two counties for failing to dim his headlights and five wrecks before stopping him on a dark North Austin street. Camera still rolling, Johnson and another deputy fatally tased the 40-year-old black father as he begged for his life. The chase that led to Javier Ambler's death was one of the three that day initiated by Williamson County Sheriff's deputies. For an agency that saw fewer than 30 pursuits the entire previous year, three in one day.
And that was the day that the reality TV crew yeah. was filming?
Was an anomaly.
That's what they're talking about?
Yes. But wow. During 11 months, that A&E featured Sheriff Robert Chody and his deputies on its popular weekly show, high-speed pursuits increasingly became the norm. That's why I became an officer. The American Statesman, part of USA Today's network, analyzed more than 150 pages of pursuit reports and found deputies initiated 40 pursuits in 2019, a 54% increase from the previous year. The department also chased at a higher rate than other Central Texas law enforcement agencies that weren't being filmed. The chases resulted in Ambler's death, at times reached speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour and caused more than $17,000 in damages to public and private property. Internal reviews identified policy violations or wrongdoings by deputies in at least 11 of the pursuits. At least five resulted in corrective action, a little bit less than half. A little bit less than half those wrongdoings got some corrective action, Derek, which consisted of verbal counseling. $17,000 worth of damages. But these guys are like frat boys or something, right? Half of the department's 2019 pursuits happened during the 28-week in which live PD crews were filming with the department. Live PD was canceled in June, just 2 days after Statesman and KVU TV published previously unreported details of Ambler's death and the fact the show has destroyed footage of the incident.
And that's happened before. And I never heard of this show, but on Cops, where people were murdered during an episode of Cops, or maybe this was, there's definitely another incident where there was a reality show filming and somebody was it killed. They're talking about during a police chase, but this other one was like a no-knock raid that they filmed, and it turned into a death, and then they refused to release the footage or maybe destroyed it. And so I'm not surprised to hear that, but that is disturbing.
There's some crazy other comments in here. I don't know how far to go. More than one in five of the 2019 pursuits involve black individuals, even though they represent less than one in 10 Williamson County residents. Chody has defended his department and said that when he took office in January 2017, he changed the county's chase till the wheels fall off philosophy, though the data contradict that assertion. In 2016, the department had 26 chases. So think about that. And it had three in one day. Although it dipped to 24 pursuits in the year Chody took office, it rebounded to 26 and then hit 40 in 2019. But yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, we talk about, like, you brought up the term celebritarian, or what is it? Like talking about the activists that are there just for the cameras. You know, they're not there with the message unless it's trending and the cameras are there, celebritarian or something like that. But we've also used phrases like Facebook famous. And I think it's interesting to see this correlation with live PD here and these chases and the way the officers acted when they were being filmed and when it was making them famous, and you know how they. So I think that's something important to think about.
They're in it for the attention too. Well, all right, we're going to continue our conversation about cops here on Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance. I definitely want to get all of our listeners, both who are listening live while we're recording now or tomorrow afternoon on KPFT. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can comment below now or come leave a message on our website or on Freethinker Radio on Facebook. What are your thoughts on this Jacob Blake shooting, which has resulted in this man being now paralyzed? We're going to get into all the details now. What we're going to do now for the next 10 minutes or so is breeze through some headlines. We got two from one from CNN, one from Wall Street Journal. So something maybe a little bit more mainstream center. I know Wall Street Journal might be a little more conservative in some instances, but we're also looking at a BBC headline. Then we're going to look at a Business Insider headline. We're looking at some Breitbart, a little bit more right-wing. Then we're looking at Slate News, which is definitely more left-leaning. We've got the Houston Chronicle. We're just going through a few of them, getting all the way through the views from left, right, and center of how people are playing this situation, because I know that for some people it's super black and white and super simple, and for other people it's not so black and white, and maybe some of you have no idea what the heck we're talking about. So we're going to get into all of that right now here on Freethinker Radio. We appreciate everybody listening. I do want to say, though, before we continue, for those who are interested, we have launched a podcast page now. If you want to catch up with us on your own time on the podcast, you can find Freethinker Radio on the Stitcher app now. We're working on getting on, on Spotify. Several people have suggested being able to do that. So we're working on doing that. But you guys on Pinecast, if you look up pinecast.com, search Freethinker Radio, or like I said, Stitcher, the Stitcher app, and then Spotify. Hopefully soon you'll be able to catch episodes of Freethinker Radio, as well as other information and other episodes from the Conscious Resistance. But all right, let's get into this. Jacob Blake was the name of this young man who has been now the center of focus as everything is kind of hitting the fan again. Another shooting here in the United States. Jacob Blake is handcuffed to his hospital bed. Family says, this is coming from CNN.com. Jacob Blake, who remains hospitalized after sustaining multiple injuries, is now handcuffed to his bed. His family said, Blake's uncle told CNN on Thursday that Blake's father visited the Wauwatosa, Wisconsin hospital, where his son is recovering from at least one surgery. He was heartbroken to see that his son was handcuffed. He said, this is an insult to injury. Justin Blake, his uncle, said he is paralyzed and can't walk, and they have him cuffed to the bed. Why? Blake, a 29-year-old black man, has spent several days in the hospital. A Kenosha police officer shot him 7 times in the back on Sunday while trying to detain him, state investigators said. Kenosha Police and Sheriff's Department, as well as the DA's office, did not immediately respond to comment. So that's kind of sets up the basic situation there. Sunday, this 29-year-old black man was shot in the back by Kenosha, Wisconsin officer. There's video of the incident. His kids are there on the scene. And, you know, we're not going to play the video here, but the video is widely available. I think there's several videos now, several angles that have come out. And he's been found now to be paralyzed. And, you know, we're waiting to see how that situation develops. Obviously, people are upset about that, being shot in the back. I don't really care who you are. That doesn't sound like a good situation. It doesn't sound like a wise move for a police officer, somebody's supposed to be doing the protecting. We looked at the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal has this: Jacob Blake shooting. What happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin? Protests continued after black man shot by white officers, paralyzed from waist down, faces multiple surgeries. So again, in the video, for those who are watching on the screen, you can see right now there's a screenshot as, and this is, I don't know if you've seen this, Mike, of him standing there kind of walking away with the cop, like with the gun right to his, pointed right at his back right before they start to unload on him. And yeah, and as I said, this has resulted in protests around Wisconsin, and protests that have included people peacefully marching in the streets, yelling at the cops, you know, confronting cops, which I think is a healthy part of protesting. And then, yes, other people getting into looting and what some would term rioting and actively fighting cops. We're seeing this, honestly, and I think this is something that we don't want to ignore. I don't want to get too off of the story at hand of Jacob Blake and then where else we're going with this. But I do think that we would be ignorant to as much as I think that seeing Antifa and the alt-right or the Boogaloo Boys or whatever names people want to give themselves fighting in the streets. And now, I don't know if you've seen it, Mike. I mean, it's literally people in helmets. They're full-on live-action role-playing helmets. They're building shields. It's not just the left, because it used to be more of a left-wing thing. Now we're seeing even more right-leaning people coming with helmets, with bats, with weapons. And I'm not getting into about who's escalating what, but the point is now we're at that point, like you were saying before we started the show, we were talking about this. We're at the point where it's like fighting in the streets, gangs fighting in the streets, just different groups, what I think are different authoritarians. And it's starting to resemble some places around the world where things are more organized, like China. We're seeing a lot more of the umbrellas now. We're seeing shields. I've seen in Oregon, and where there's been a lot of protesting, people are bringing out
blowers,
yeah, to blow out the gas when it comes in. And just, you know, they're getting more prepared and more, you know, just more experienced about it. And so massive protests taking place, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and police firing pepper balls. And this is, of course, why the protests have continued in Portland as well and other places. And so just to give a little background, it says the Wisconsin Department of Justice said that Kenosha police were summoned to Mr. Blake's home on Sunday after a female caller said her boyfriend was on the premises unlawfully. Officers attempted to use a stun gun to stop Mr. Blake, but it didn't work, the department said. He then walked around his car to open the front door and was leaning forward when Mr. Shesky shot him in the back 7 times. Mr. Shesky was the only officer who fired his weapon, the department said. The department said Mr. Blake admitted to having a knife in his possession and that investigators recovered one from the driver's side floorboard of the vehicle. Ben Crump, the attorney representing his family, said Mr. Blake was helping to de-escalate the situation when officers initially used a stun gun on him. The attorney said Mr. Blake was walking away from police to check on his 3 young sons who were in the car when he was shot. Mr. Blake, 29 years old, lives in Kenosha. So there was a warrant for his arrest filed in Wisconsin Circuit Court on July on charges of criminal trespass, domestic abuse, and third-degree sexual assault. Now, that's just the background. I don't know that that means that justify, just for those who want to say, oh, well, now I stop caring because he has these charges going on. That doesn't justify being shot in the back by the cops. I don't think this cop clearly wasn't in danger when the guy's walking away from him and he's pointing a gun at him, you know. So who shot Jacob Blake? Again, this is Mr. Shesky, who says he served on the force for 7 years. He has been placed on administrative leave along with other officers present. All are cooperating with the investigation. Kenosha DA said that Mr. Shesky was a patrolman officer, not a detective or a manager, so it's not known, and so not known to his office. So that's kind of the background situation, and there's been all these protests. They've been continuing on. That's from CNN. That's from Wall Street Journal. Then we have this other situation that happened just in the last couple of days with the BBC. We're starting with the BBC. Kyle Rittenhouse, who is the U.S. teen who is accused of Kenosha, Wisconsin protest murders. After a black man was shot 7 times, as we just talked about, Jacob Blake, we now have the third night of demonstrations where a 17-year-old boy, and there's lots of videos of this that are online, and I can play a little clip. It won't have audio, but we're just going to play the video of it. You can see some of the scenes of the protest in Kenosha. 17-year-old boy allegedly fired on protesters with a military-style semi-automatic rifle. I like the way they write that, military style, killing 2 and seriously injuring a 3rd. And this has been a big topic of debate. This guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, he killed 2 people because he fired his gun, but now they showed up at his house, as we're going to show you guys in just a moment. They showed up at his house and arrested him, and now they're charging him and maybe even his mom, because his mom apparently gave him a ride to the protest. And he said he was there to like defend one of the businesses that apparently he did work at or was associated with. You know, I've been trying to dig deep into both sides. And this guy was apparently like a Blue Lives Matter kind of guy, pro cop, pro-police movement. You know, maybe I think I've heard he said he wanted to be a cop. He posted pictures of himself wearing a police uniform, former member of a local police cadet program. So, like, he definitely was, like, a pro-cop state kind of guy. And the, what I'm showing on screen here is there's pictures of cars that were burned during the protests recently as well. So there have been some property damage and cars damage. I'm sure they weren't all cop cars or cop things, unfortunately. But Kyle Rittenhouse shows up, says he's there to defend some businesses, and he ends up killing two people and injuring another person. Now, does that is that the, you know, that's it, end of the story? He's just must be some racist, this and that. That's definitely what we're seeing from some of the left-wing media, as I'm going to show you in a moment. But there are other sides to it. I've seen pictures and videos showing him being hit in the head with a skateboard, being stomped while he's on the ground, like several people coming up, somebody else pulling a handgun on him as well. And I'm not saying any of this is justified. I think this is unfortunately
– it's important to remember that a skateboard is a weapon. Well, yeah. You know, in the media, they want you to think, you know, that every gun is a weapon. A weapon is anything that's used to assault somebody. So, you know, I don't know, when you get hit in the head with a skateboard, I don't know how safe you'd feel while numbers of people will come around you and all that. So I don't know. I don't know a lot about this story. So I hope that, you know, more comes out about it.
So there is an interview that Mr. Rittenhouse gave on Tuesday night. And he, in that interview, he said, part of my job is also to protect people. If someone's hurt, I'm running into harm's way. He was captured on video at different times during that night. At one point, he speaks to police who offer him water. So he's definitely like around there trying to make himself known.
That sounds like he's trying to do something.
That he is like, in his mind, trying to protect his community or, you know, an area that he has a care and concern for. Later, he is shown, and these, that's what I'm saying, these videos show that he's being chased by a group of people, which appears to fire into the air. The teenager turns to see where the sound is coming from as another person tries to attack him. At that point, he appears to shoot the man in the head. So, like, you know, that's what I'm saying. He's being chased. Somebody fires a gun. He has a gun on him. He probably thinks, like, they're trying to kill me, and shoots. Now, I'm not saying that justifies anything. I will leave that to the courts of whatever, if you want to.
But if he,
you
know, had, if he had that, what, immunity, qualified immunity, there'd be no questions, right?
And I do want to say,
because he was afraid.
Well, if he was a cop, yeah, he could get away with it no matter what, because he was afraid and he qualified immunity. I do want to say that they haven't released the names of the victims, 26-year-old from Silver Lake, Wisconsin, and 36-year-old from Kenosha. And 26-year-old is expected to recover from the injuries. Police have not named who they are. And so, again, these protests are going on. And now this is the big thing, and I've seen it dividing different people, especially even people who'd call themselves anarchists or conservatives or libertarian.
I don't see how killing each other out there is going
to
help.
It's not going to help. And I want us to get to that. Let me just run to the details, because I think that's the bigger picture of what we're trying to talk here. People fighting in the streets, like, how is this helping anything? I'm just seeing people, I don't know, dividing themselves further.
Going in the street for, you know, good reason, right? They're upset about the senseless violence or racism or both, hopefully.
And there are people, what I've also seen online is that there were people, there was a group of people who are maybe more right-leaning militia-style people who did have guns and came there and communicated with the protesters at the beginning. And there was some sort of talk of like, hey, we're just here to keep things chill. And there was an agreement. And then at some point, things seemed to sour. And there did attempt at, you know, obviously there was cars burned and things like that. So then sides started fighting. And that's, I mean, people are going out there looking for a fight, looking to.
Exactly.
So there's a, we're showing online pictures of prosecutors announced homicide charges. So, okay, so Kyle Rittenhouse shoots the people. He does go home that night. Then, like, the next day afterwards, I think, in the last day, they show up and they arrested him, charging him with homicide. He's accused of shooting and killing two people at Kenosha protest. And that's from Business Insider. When we go over to Breitbart, Kenosha, Illinois, teenager Kyle Rittenhouse charged with murder for fatal shooting. They kind of have their own take on it. One thing I've seen is that the right wing, or I guess people, I don't want to just label it as just right wing, but people who think that, you know, he's in the right, have raised money for him. They raised money for his legal defense on GoFundMe. Then GoFundMe took it down. And now people are announcing other support. I mean, it's becoming a big thing. And I'm showing online. There was apparently
legal defense or something.
There was apparently a picture of him from just a week ago, where it, taken by Getty Images, shows volunteers cleaning up from a high school near the Kenosha County Courthouse following another night of protest. And there's all these volunteers out there just cleaning up the tagging and the spray paint. And it appears to show him in one of the pictures.
He might have told someone, stop spray painting.
He's staring right at the camera. He's the only person that, I mean, I don't know why. I just find that kind of weird that the picture they find of him, the one picture that shows him clearly cleaning up spray paint, and he's the only person facing the camera looking right at it. But that's one heck of a coincidence. So, yeah. But so anyways, the point is that this guy was out there. He'd been interviewed in a few different people. This shows this journalist, Elijah Schaefer, says, I spoke with the alleged shooter earlier in the night who stated he was there to protect property. He did not make racist comments, condemn BLM, or mention political motivations. He said he was there to protect property and was carrying a firearm. And that was it. And then Slate, which is more left-wing, Kenosha police chief blamed protesters for their own deaths and defends vigilante groups. And the chief of police, Daniel Miskinis, gave a press conference. And he basically said, you know, that there was a curfew and I'm not going to make a big deal of it. But the point of the curfew is to protect people. Had they not been out in violation of that, perhaps the situation would have folded different. No,
everybody stay at home always.
Everybody's just like, shut up, chief. No, we don't need your opinion on this. And then even coming from here in the Chronicle, it says there are now calls once again to fire Tucker Carlson after Fox News host slammed for comments about the Kenosha protesters, saying some things that are upsetting some people. And this is from his Twitter account. Kenosha devolved into anarchy. Somebody tell Tucker Carlson this is not anarchy because the authorities abandoned the people. Those in charge from the governor on down refused to enforce the law. They've stood back and watched Kenosha burn. Are we really surprised that looting and arson accelerated to murder? And this is one of the kind of calling cards of the right I've seen lately, is that the Democrats aren't doing enough in these cities, or because of these calls to defund the police. And it does seem to be, we talked about how the Seattle police chief recently resigned after she said they've taken up so many tools away from me, I can't really do anything. So that is real, that there are some departments who feel like our hands are tied, and then you get mass protests and they don't know what to do. Just kind of wrapping this up, video analysis shows that Kyle Rittenhouse did not shoot first. And again, it shows him running away. You see somebody with a handgun firing into the air. There's a new video. And there's a link to it at 2319 in the video. Rittenhouse is seen in this YouTube live stream. He's being chased into a parking lot. While he's being pursued, an unknown gunman fires a shot in the air. And then it's after that that he turns around and fires back. And apparently it was a good enough shot. He shot the person in the head. And then Slate again, the conservative defense of Kyle Rittenhouse is dangerous nonsense. White Americans' most heinous acts of violence can always be justified by their ideological allies. So just to kind of show you where the different sides of how people are doing this, and they're basically saying that they'll do anything to defend somebody who was supportive of the cops or to be against Black Lives Matter. And you know, I'll leave you to decide that.
Sounds like he wasn't being against Black Lives Matter, though.
No, but they're trying to frame it like that.
Yeah.
And then just a wrap up of that, Breitbart talking about how the baseball, the A's are not playing their finale at Texas to support racial justice. And this is a part of a larger trend where the basketball players are also boycotting right now. The MLS, WNBA games have also been postponed. I don't really watch sports, but the point is, they're saying that this is all a reaction to these protests and to these shootings and everything going on, that they're basically like, we're not going to play. I think they said in basketball, we're still going to continue our season. We're not going to abandon it completely, but we're going to pause and boycott for the moment to have a moment to talk about this. I know I just said a whole lot, but what do you think, Mike? I mean, we've got this original shooting of a guy in the back, that leading to the protests and all that, some looting, clearly some rioting, some burning of cars. Now this guy killing two people, and that's become like the topic of conversation about it now, instead of how the cops are killing people and shooting people in the back. I mean, that's, and people are fighting in the streets. What did you say it was earlier, Europe?
Yeah, it does seem sort of like, you know, the pre-fascist Europe, right? While the socialists and the others are, you know, basically having ideological battles on the streets. And it's weird because I don't really understand it, because as we've talked about over the last few weeks, wait a minute, why are these people even fighting? You know, when all of a sudden did the right want so much more government that they wanted to not talk about defunding part of it? And when did the left become so unconcerned about safety, you know? So I don't know. But I did have some other stories that I wanted to get into, but one that I did want to talk about just for a moment. I don't know. I did send you the link on this one, Derek, but it's not one of the ones we talked about earlier, but it's the one where we're talking about the woke corporation supporting Black Lives Matter and meanwhile bankrolling the police. I think setting that behind what you were just talking about is really important, because it's sort of like, you know, how we talked about COVID, maybe, you know, COVID being at least good cover for the banksters, you know, to print more and to do more stimulus and more bailouts, those sort of things. I feel like some of those things are going on with this too, where it's providing good cover J.P. Morgan Chase CEO, and this just blew me away, this first paragraph here. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon very quickly took a knee outside New York branch of his bank in early June, also circulating a memo declaring the financial institution's supposed dedication to struggling against injustice. J.P. Morgan Chase, right? Jamie Dimon. Let's be clear. We are watching, listening, and want every single one of you to know we are committed to fighting against racism and discrimination wherever and however it exists, he and his company's diversity chief wrote together. I think we also need to be concerned about authoritarianism, right? Because even if it's like equally balanced violations of civil liberties and rights, then that's not better. In the wake of worldwide public outrage over racist police violence, many of the U.S. largest corporations rushed to publicly align themselves. And I think this is some of what you're talking about with the sports, too. Publicly align themselves with the growing movement for Black lives. Yet a new report from the Public Accountability Initiative exposes how corporate America is actually bankrolling police departments across the country, including many of the same ones facing scrutiny over racist practices. And I think that's an important, you know, aspect of it, because, you know, there's more than one side of each coin. So I figured it fit with what we're
talking
about.
I think that's
trying to be part of what's trending, trying to appear that you're on the right
side
of something.
Clearly, Black Lives Matter. Clearly, police kill people. Clearly, police, you know, the other thing is statistics a lot of people talk about is the amount of natives that have been killed by police as well. And like, I mean, there's so many issues, all these different groups of people matter. And it's important that these conversations happen. But when you have a movement that's getting backed up by Chevron, JP Morgan, Nike, Coke, and all these people that are all making all these giant promises, and it's kind of coinciding with talks of this great reset and how we need to address systematic racism and reset the economy. We're going to get into that in just a moment. It feels like, all right, maybe we should stop and rethink the movement we're building or that we're being swept up with, you know?
Yeah, because
not to say the issues don't matter.
It doesn't feel so street. It doesn't feel so organic in some
ways. No, it doesn't. Well, we're going to go to a quick song before we continue. Mike has got some Fed news, and I'm going to talk briefly Bill Gates, and then we'll probably start wrapping it up there. But we do have another song.
And the thing is, the street should care about this.
They should care about it. People should. I mean, that's the thing. Is like it. I think this is, to me, a big problem, is that people see the stuff we're talking about, the problems, and then because of that, they completely disassociate and say, well, I'm not going to pay any attention at all then, because it's all fake, co-opted, et cetera. I'm not going to hear any of the cries of these people. When we can be like, hey, it's wrong for this guy to be get shot in the back, no matter what color he is, and we should talk about that and not let ourselves be divided by the issue instead of addressing it. But we're going to go to a real quick song and come back and continue here on Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. This is Power Through People, History. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Turning out young people as clones of our sense of reality we want them to have. Controllable. And we'll call it education. And it means that we'll take children from their parents at a very early age, and we'll keep them there about 5 days a week at least, all the way through their formative years, and we'll pound them every day with our version of reality.
Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free. Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free.
Everything you've been told is a lie. It's never questioned, and we get old over time. Slaves to the system, I won't step aside. You have three visions, open your eyes. Drones in the sky, UFOs by their side. Anunnaki control, there's nowhere to hide. War and famine's profitable. No releases of cures for diseases, cause you won't be in the hospital. Santa Maria came over with two other ships. Star families on board, but you don't hear about none of it. We're stuck in this public front of a government. Do what they say, not what they do. Well, I don't wanna sit. Stop paying taxes, eat local. Gain wisdom, seek global. Don't let the system control you. Remove the blindfolds for your own view. Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free. Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free.
Wake up, America, you passed out. Yo, wake up, can you hear me? Yeah, you blacked out. And that's how these corrupt cash cows created a black cloud. Now they acting like they don't want to back out the Black House. Yeah, we getting killed by the president. that lasts. They created a system that was destined to crash. It's gonna fall, and when it does, it's gonna come down fast. And we gon' need a lot more than just our bug out bags. These gun-free zones say it's safe to walk. You can't get raped abroad if you do this, wait for cops. Maybe not, just pray to God, you can just stay calm. Meanwhile, shots are going off in the Navy Yard. From here to Kenya Mall, how can we tall? The rated for any longer, ain't it time that we make a call? We can't evolve, and there's no hope for survival if we don't start to wake up and begin to open our minds up.
At a young age, taught to obey. Kill your brain cells, soda benzoate. This is Plato's allegory of a cave. We're living in the dark, imprisoned in our ways. Like sheep in a herd, we go about our days. You don't really know where your tax money goes, but debt gets higher and you have nothing, so a revolution's needed to grasp what we know. Storm Bohemian Grove on a late summer night. Disrupt the party and stay for the fight. A century of lies can't change overnight, but a start can happen with a spark. I'm rapping. Let's march for action. Play a massive part when the stars come crashing from the eye in the sky. Turn on the panic, put on your mask and smile. Release your heart from sadness. Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free. Burn your history books, kill your TVs. What you're being fed is disease. You are being led to dis-ease. Wake up your consciousness, live free.
These manipulators know it's an illusion, and they know we're creating it through our minds, and so they know if they program our minds with the right illusion, we'll create it physically. And the education system is massively, massively part of that. That is why we are pressured from cradle to grave not to figure it out.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance. Hope you guys enjoyed that. That was PTP, Power Through People, our friend Venny, who has performed in Houston at some of our concerts before. That was his song with Steve Grant, History. Those guys don't make much too much music anymore these days, but years ago...
make that music not good.
A couple years ago, they were really just kicking ass out there and doing great things.
They seemed real forceful.
All of their music is there, and you can still find it on the platforms out there. So look up Power Through People and Steve Grant if you enjoyed that. All right, Micah, go ahead and let's get into this.
I got a little bit from the Wall Street Journal. The Fed's out there. You see the market's up because they did something, right? Yeah, because, you know, that's the economy now, right? The stock market. But here we go. Federal Reserve officials, I love this, the way the headline reads from Wall Street Journal. Federal Reserve officials lay out how much inflation overshoot could be acceptable. You know, we know how they already target 2% per year, which means your purchasing power in 20 years would lose almost half if everything went according to plan. But the plans change, right? Just like this here. Federal Reserve officials spoke in the wake of the announcement of the central bank's new approach to inflation targeting, which shed light on how much of an overshoot of the central bank's 2% target they're willing to accept. Willing to accept, right? As if they're in absolute control of this stuff, as if, you know, this isn't a result of their actions, that they're, you know, they're willing to accept this inflation, you know, the watering down of your savings. Oh, goodness. The policymakers, Robert Kaplan of the Dallas Fed and James Bullard of the St. Louis Fed, spoke separately in television interviews Thursday, weighing in after the Fed had said earlier in the day that it would allow inflation moderately exceed its official 2% goal if price blah blah blah. But I want to get on to the other article here from Guardian. I guess that's UK, right? Because it gets into some other aspects of this, and I thought this was really interesting. Federal Reserve Jerome Powell, that's the chairman, announces new approach to stimulating the U.S. economy as it happened. Like, you know, it's so high tech, it's so advanced. He's saying it as it's happening. I was like, what a headline, right? So I thought that was a bit much. With closing summary, Federal Reserve adapts to a new inflation era. See, that's a lot better than saying like what they could accept, adapts, right? Because they're not in control of this. They can control how much money they're printing, but the minute they quit printing, they're going to have bigger problems because they got everybody screaming for the stimulus, right? For the unemployment checks, for the bailouts, the whole other round of corporations. Long anticipated, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has delivered to a new approach to monetary policy for the central bank. It will tolerate inflation rising above 2% for short periods of time. That's very subjective, right? Short periods of time. This means the Fed will likely be more comfortable keeping its extraordinary stimulus measures in place for longer as it waits for the labor market to heat up and the economy to recover. Symbolically, it is a marked departure from the days of Paul Volcker, Powell's predecessor, who made his name fighting against inflation, even at the cost of a recession.
So is this just the Fed sort of admitting to trying to create inflation here?
They're admitting to
or just allowing it to happen?
They're basically admitting to that they can't. They're not admitting that they're not controlling something. They're saying that because of this environment and the jobs numbers, we're going to tolerate a little bit more inflation, print a little bit more money. We're going to tolerate it because things are so rough. In practice, however, it is questionable whether it changes what the central bank has even been doing. Hugh Briscoe, a global fixed income portfolio manager at Goldman Sachs, says investors have been worried that changes to monetary and fiscal policy raise inflation risk in the future, but we think these concerns are overblown. Our view is the Fed's adoption of average inflation targeting today. One thing I thought was interesting is they're still talking about keeping interest rates at zero while inflation cruises above 2%. It turns out here's some other interesting economic developments. Another 1 million people, another 1 million people filed for unemployment benefits last week as the pandemic continued to take a historic toll on the job market. The U.S. GDP contraction has slightly smaller than first thought, but still historic recession. This is still going on. The economy is still falling apart.
Well, Micah, you mentioned before about Blackstone and the role of the Federal Reserve. Remind me again, like, they're buying up certain loans, right, or certain types?
They're buying, I believe what they're buying is they're buying stocks directly, and they're buying funds that the Fed can't buy by law. So the Fed can give money to Blackstone to buy things that they can't buy, to prop up markets they can't prop up.
You know, just a few months back, people were thinking, like, there was people spreading this idea that Trump had created, you know, the Treasury had absorbed the Fed or something along that lines. But it seems like Blackstone now has more influence probably than maybe not other financial institutions, but they definitely have major influence. And I find that it's interesting because I found these other stories. Just I wanted to add this to what you're talking about, that back in June, the head of Blackstone hosted a fundraiser for Joe Biden.
Uh-huh.
And then Biden has a $775 billion carrying economy plan. And back in, when was this? This is back in July. He hosted a fundraiser that was hosted by Blackstone Group President Jonathan Gray. And he was talking about this carrying economy. So he's very associated with Blackstone, you know, already. And so it's just interesting that because like we've seen, you know, just to briefly mention again, Kamala Harris, part of that ticket, pledges unconditional support for Israel. Well, we already know that Trump's biggest bankroller was Sheldon Adelson, who is like a huge bankroller of Israel and Zionist pursuits. So on that issue, like many others, they've got either party. You know, it doesn't really matter who you vote for. Both of them pledged to Israel no matter what. Both of them have relationships with Blackstone and Goldman Sachs and these other people, and both of them support drone bombs and both of them support surveillance. And it's just,
they have to have relationships with these people like Blackstone and Goldman Sachs and all these, and Tesla and all these people, because these people are going to have relationships with both parties because they're at the feeding trial wanting some of that printed cash and some of that extra power that government has. So they infest both parties, you know, and,
Well, as we wrap up here, I want to cover one international story. We're down to the last few minutes. You, of course, thankful everybody.
Are there more than two one parties?
Two one parties?
Yeah. Are we have more than a 2-1 party system?
No, we don't have okay. more than we have. Well, there's other options, but you don't need to hear about those. Those are throwaway votes.
Oh yeah.
Don't think outside the box.
You're helping the bad guy win.
Dichotomy.
You're helping the greater evil win.
If you don't vote for our guy, then
if you don't
care
vote for the lesser evil,
all you support is evil.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to DW.com, the German news site, coronavirus skeptics vow to storm Berlin despite demo ban. And what they mean by demo is protest. And this is, of course, demonstration. You know, after the massive protest on August 1st, which, by the way, for those who follow on the Conscious Resistance channel, we did upload a 30-minute documentary today from the August 1st Berlin protest, where what appears to be hundreds of thousands of people, what was reported as thousands of people, came out against lockdowns, against mask mandates, against just general, I guess, government overreach, as they say.
Generals.
And So there had been one on August 1st. There was another one, I think, August 5th. And there was supposed to be a big one planned this Saturday. And I've heard about some in the UK and in Berlin and other places where there's a few other places where we hear that they're happening. But then today there was an announcement. Berlin Interior Senator Andreas Geisel said the controversial decision to ban demonstrations was prompted by behavior at previous demo on August 1st, where protesters, quote, deliberately violated coronavirus rules by refusing to wear face masks and maintain social distancing. So it's okay when it's about other things, but if you do it and it's about, you know, lockdowns, you got to guarantee that you're going to be apart and masked up. Since the announcement of the ban, Berlin's police have been preparing for a number of scenarios, including the eventuality that thousands of demonstrators take to the streets despite the ban. According to city authorities, which approved the ban, some 1,000 new rallies have been registered since Wednesday's decision.
Doesn't it get to a point where people realize that these people that are there, controllers, aren't really representing them?
Look, this is an interesting note. Political scientist Joseph Holmberger says they've been closely observing conspiracy theorists, particularly on the messenger service Telegram.
Uh-huh.
Since the ban was announced, the general observation seems to be that people are still planning on coming to Berlin with or without the ban. He probably went and anonymously joined some groups and chats and stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
He says the ban on the protests might keep more moderate protesters at home, but not the more radical ones. Organizers are calling themselves are indeed adamant that protests will go ahead with or without permission. So I've personally talked to people who say, yeah, we're still planning to go out there. There's going to be big protests. So that, just to let you know, because I did see some comments whenever there was protests back in the early part of the summer. There's not so much here in the U.S., but there was in the early part of the summer some people protesting lockdowns and masks. And I saw some folks online commenting things like, oh, you, of course you're American. Of course those are Americans. You know, only Americans are, like I told you before, only Americans are so stupid enough they care about individual liberty. But that's actually not true. There are people protesting against government overreach in response to coronavirus in Australia and India. Johan, who's a contributor to this same channel that we put our podcast on, he's from India, and he helped organize this big, like, burn your mask day. And look, whatever your thoughts are on that, that was his form of expression, and that's what they did. And it went viral on Indian media. They got interviewed, and of course they got called conspiracy theorists. But just this week, YouTube took that video down off our YouTube channel. They decided, like, that video is not allowed to be out there. It was going
burning masks
and talking about why you don't think the science is legitimate or why you question the science. And it was even like an Indian soldier was talking about why he didn't support the mask. I mean, it was a good compilation of just different Indian citizens. And then they had like a sort of mainstream media respond.
Don't get rid of those pesky things like ideas and opinions and the desire to understand on your own.
It's crazy. And the last thing I'm going to mention as we wrap up here. Finally, someone in the mainstream media actually called out Bill Gates, and at least partially the mainstream media. I would consider the Columbia Journalism Review to be mainstream. They might not be well-known. It's not like CNN, but it's a mainstream organization, journalist outlet. And they published a report from independent journalist Tim Schwab called Journalism's Gatekeepers. And I recommend everybody check it out at cjr.org. And, you know, just all I have to say about it is he does a great job going through and just showing how Bill Gates funds NPR, funds LA Times, funds BBC, NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Journal,
cards.
The
he
Guardian, Univision,
radio.
Medium, the Financial Times, the Atlantic, the Texas Tribune, Gannett Reporting.
What about KPFT?
BBC Media Action, New York Times. Well, that's the thing is KPFT doesn't take any of these corporate money. When you're listening to NPR and some other stations that appear to be independent, they're actually being funded by big corporations like this that come through organizations like Bill Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And KPFT is supported by independent people. But I think that's cool that somebody, this writer and the editor, had the guts to go ahead and say, hey, we're going to publish this. And it has actually been making some mild waves in mainstream press. But for the most part, it probably will be ignored because he does control – Bill and Melinda Gates do control a large influence in the media. And people don't recognize that. Whenever they see a story and they're interviewing different people and all three experts are tied to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the outlet itself has received money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and things of that sort, it's a lot more common than people recognize. But all right, we're going to get out of here for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening every week.
Thank you for your comments. Loved all the thumbs ups. Didn't get to get in the comments as much. Johnny's not here. I don't know. We got to blame Johnny for it. That's it. We didn't get into the
Johnny will be with us next week. We have one more show together before I head to Mexico. Head back to Mexico. And we'll be doing that next week. We'll talk all about some exciting things. Hopefully more positive news and less police shootings and people fighting in the streets. But whatever you're doing.
Oh, God. They're talking about Q and all kinds.
Try not to get divided out there so crazy in the streets. Try not to get divided. Try not to get just conquered. Divided and conquered. all that stuff. I think that's what they're trying to do.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your principles with you. Until next time, this has been Freethinker Radio. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.
Peace.